This is University Radio Nottingham.
And we're now going to go over to Ethan and discuss COP26 and all things environmental.
Yeah, so COP26 is being held in Glasgow from the 31st of October to the 12th of November. It's being seen as a crucial summit to bring climate change under control. Up to 25,000 people are going to be expected to be in Glasgow for this, including plenty of world leaders. And it's obviously because the world's warming at a fast rate because of fossil fuels and plenty of other things that are causing drastic changes to the climate and our environment. So there's already today been plenty of speeches from Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, Prince Charles and David Attenborough, all basically saying similar things. You've got Boris Johnson, who said he wanted countries to end the use of coal and phase out petrol-powered cars, as well as reversing deforestation. And he also said the young will be the harshest climate critics. So the first thing I think I want to ask is sort of on that point. There's always talk about youth, like voices at these conferences, COP26 being the same, as I just said. Are people pinning responsibility on the next generation, do you think, rather than tackling the issue themselves? Or are they just simply saying that we should care more because it's our future, not theirs?
Yeah, I think I'd agree that they're, you know, ultimately shifting an emphasis onto the action that we'll have to take into the future. Because if you look at the pledges so far, you know, all these sort of goals, 2030, 2040, at least for a majority of kind of the world's nations, you know, democracies with changes of government, it's more than likely that all the world leaders that are attending this conference, by 10 years' time, they'll be gone. You know, it's just, the thing is that they can promise for the future, but there's no kind of binding way to make them commit to these targets. And as a result, it falls onto our shoulders, because when, you know, our age group gets to the age where we'll be the ones, you know, taking up the leadership roles, prime minister, presidents, you know, it'll be back down to our shoulders in order to actually make affirmative change. But the problem is that by the time we get to that, it's likely to be too late, unfortunately.
I think as well, the thing with something as big as like the environment and climate change is it requires everybody to make that difference. And it's not just something that's constrained by, you know, national borders or even like continent to continent. It requires like that entire international community to make those changes. And so even if you're just saying the youth, like mobilizing the youth of every country to then work together is so incredibly difficult. And whilst, you know, yes, maybe you can, you know, Boris Johnson might encourage our generation to be buying electric cars, not petrol, like that alone isn't going to be enough. And I find the environment is such like an upsetting thing to think about, like, because as much as you want to help, I don't know about YouTube, but I always feel quite helpless in the situation. Mm-hmm. Yet, as you say, and like, it's very much always kind of pinned on us, and it's the youth, this, that, and the other. And I kind of think, oh goodness, but I'm almost feeling past that even, like you see kind of Greta Thunberg coming up, and I'm almost like, at what point are we no longer the youth and we're looking at the generation below us even, like, it's, yeah, I just,
when is it too late for us?
Yeah, I just find it's scary. So, because it's such a lifestyle change, I think, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It requires, and you almost need to raise a generation differently to make those changes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Greta Thunberg obviously is like a really good example, because she was raised quite differently to a lot of people. She obviously had parents who sort of put her in this role of a climate activist, whether that's a good thing or bad. But I guess there is also standout characters from other generations too. I mean, you've got David Attenborough, who spoke at the conference today. He was saying that it's the future of our young people. So he's still sort of saying it's not necessarily the responsibility of us, but it's our future that's in jeopardy. But these like celebrities, so to speak, and politicians, they're always talking, but it's whether they're actually doing anything to make a difference. And I guess you've got the example, Rishi Sunak didn't even mention the climate in his latest budget. So even though you've got COP26 happening, all this talk from politicians and celebrities like David Attenborough, is that going to cause real change, or is this just another chance for them to get positive publicity for the next week?
I think that is the issue, is that no one leader is willing to take the responsibility. And I think the point at which you accept the responsibility for what your country, or how your country is playing into this issue, no one's expecting it. It's not one country's fault. As I say, it's an international issue. But I don't think anyone... Yes, Boris Johnson said these few things, you know, as you mentioned about no coal and electric cars and things, but he's not kind of holding his hands up and saying how Britain is playing into the issue. And I think if you teach people about how we're like creating the issue, it's what we're talking about education. I think you need to educate that next generation of young people to understand why it is we're making these changes and why it is we're doing what we are to try and save the environment, not just kind of forcing rules upon them. So I think it requires a relationship between the current generation of politicians and said youth that they're kind of pinning that responsibility on. I don't think it's on one or the other. I think it needs to be that like development and like relationship between the two, if that makes sense.
I completely agree, and I also agree with you, Ethan, that, you know, it at the moment it does seem as though it's more of a positive publicity thing, because, you know, as we've seen, Prince Charles especially is known for having a bit of a green thumb, in fact, and he's also spoken already at the conference, but you know, but he took from Rome the other day, he took a private plane into Scotland in order to attend COP26, and he's not certainly not the only one taking a private plane. I believe hundreds of dignitaries have been taking private planes into Scotland, and in fact there's so many private planes going in that they're having to divert to other airports. I remember reading a few weeks ago that, well, not a few weeks ago, a few days ago as well, that the Tokyo, the delegate from Japan, they flew their kind of government plane empty just to see which runway they prefer to land on. And it's just, you know, definitely hypocrisy when it comes to what the world leaders are saying and what they're actually doing in practice. I think one of the few merits of Boris Johnson is that he does seem to actually care about the environment. I mean, there's certainly a lot of things you'd be negative against Boris Johnson for, but I think his environmental, you know, concerns are quite legitimate, which I think will help, you know, the UK transform into a greener society. I mean, even back when he was mayor of London, you know, we saw the implementation of Boris bikes. So, you know, while a lot of the countries, I think, are going to be more talk than action, I think at the very least the UK will be taking a little bit of action.
I think what you mentioned there about everyone flying in, though, is incredibly ironic. Like, I was thinking that, you know, I think it's 100, they've said more than 120 leaders are there. And in a time when we've just had 2 years of COVID and, or sort of nearing 2 years of COVID, where we've had to learn to adapt to an online way of meeting, you know, we've all had to have our university education on Zoom or Teams and things. And then at a point when we're all meeting to discuss the environment, we do one of the most unenvironmentally friendly things possible and fly everyone together. I do find it quite...
Well, I actually read yesterday, it's not just world leaders who've been flying into Scotland because of COP26. Because of the weather yesterday, which is quite ironic that the weather is causing like problems getting to a climate summit. The weather yesterday meant that there was like problems with a lot of trains. A fallen tree near Euston meant that a lot of people who were travelling on the train up to Scotland for the summit had to then get flights instead so that they could make it on time. Obviously that's a problem with our transport systems that we have in place. But I guess there is also a problem with the individual. We're a very consumer-driven society. We like to buy our things, and that obviously has an effect on the environment. So I guess the final question on this news story is sort of, what can we do to help make a positive change? Do we need to rely on politicians to take the change in their hands? Or is there stuff that we could probably be doing to sort of make the environment a better place, but we're sort of neglecting because we always blame the politicians?
I think we do need the politicians for the legislation and, you know, the funding and, in, you know, putting kind of infrastructural things into the budget and all that kind of thing. But I think kind of my personal pledge to myself, I've been thinking about it, and I think it's that not giving up. It sounds really cheesy, but not giving up hope, because I think you very much think, oh, but if only I make the change and not anyone else does, that's not going to make any difference. You know, what does me not buying a plastic bag at Sainsbury's do? But I think it's kind of not giving up that hope in those little things all accounting. It's
yeah.
It's kind of that classic save the pennies and the pounds look after themselves. If we all saved our pennies and did those little things, it does build up. And so I think it's that, like, keeping doing whatever it is, taking a tote bag to the supermarket, not buying plastic bags, or walking instead of driving if you can, or getting the bus, or, you know, I think little things like that that you maybe don't even realise are making a change, like, almost keep faith in those. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I mean, I completely agree. I mean, at the end of the day, in order to, you know, address climate change, we need kind of collaborative action. Not, you know, as an individual, if I personally make many changes to reduce my carbon footprint, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be like 0.0001% of, probably even less, of, you know, global change. But if the population of an entire nation make the change, then that'll be a significant reduction. And I think it also applies, you know, kind of on a bigger scale. You know, the actions of one country are not going to address climate change. It needs to be collaborative between all the countries of the world. Which I sure hope COP26 will have some success in solving.
Yeah, I think it is important not to lose hope, like you say. And I think there's part of you that's got to think, well, if I care about the environment, surely every single other individual does too. Which I guess should suggest that everyone's sort of starting to take a little bit more notice and do little things here and there that helps us. And hopefully, the environment will be a better place one day.
Let's hope so.
This is University Radio Nottingham.